Okay. Father God, we thank you for this time of study, this time of fellowship. We ask that you would be with us, that you would guide us. Father God, I pray that you would just open up our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have for us on today. We come against all sickness, all distractions, anything that will prevent us from hearing your word. I lift up Reverend Abernathy to you, and I pray, Lord, that you would use her, that you would be the voice that would speak through her on this evening. We just thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly. I'm looking at my board, and just about everybody that is here tonight was not here last week, and we wanted to give you a little introduction without taking away from tonight's session, but just to catch you up, because everything is not the exact same as it was last week. Sharon, do I have Sharon Frizzell? Press your five-star key if I have Sharon Frizzell. I have three Sharon. Okay, thank you, Sharon Frizzell. I'm going to ask you probably just to catch us up in a minute. Now, the person whose last four digits are 4018, could you give us your name, please?
Carol Henderson.
Pardon?
My name is Carol Henderson.
Henderson?
Yes, Henderson.
Okay. If you would press the five-star key, well, you can hear me, so we won't have to do that. And we'll add your name to this, okay? And I'll mute you back, Carol Henderson. And we'll start. I'm going to ask Sharon, just to try briefly, Sharon, to share briefly where we are from this point. We've had two sessions, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday, and Sharon was at them both. But just to tell why we're studying together like this. Sharon? Star?
Can you
pardon?
I just unmuted her. You forgot to unmute her.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm still practicing. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. Well, it's starting because there are things in the Bible that we were not taught as children, and we grew up with the same thoughts, and until you actually read the Bible instead of just glimpsing through, because we think we know what it says, we're learning now that there are different things in the Bible that we really did not know about. And one of them was in the beginning, in Genesis, where it was saying about Noah and the animals. And then our Thursday discussion, it was in regards to Christmas, as to who were, what, where, and when the wise men who followed the star, found Jesus as a child, and who was actually there during the birth of Jesus. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You don't want me to tell you about this one, do you? The new one.
I'm going to mute you back, Sharon. Okay. One of the reasons, as Sharon said, we study some things we've heard all our lives in church. We believe them because we heard them in church, but it's not necessarily the things that are written in the Word of God in the Bible, actually. And the one that Sharon referred to about Noah's and the Ark, I know growing up all our lives we heard the song about Noah took the animals in two by two. And what we discovered last week in the sessions was that there were seven of different kinds of fowls and animals that went in along with the two by two. Also, as far as the Christmas story, we always see pictures on Christmas cards with the baby in the manger, Joseph and Mary, and the three wise men and the shepherds. Well, when we read the story for ourselves in the Bible, it tells us nowhere in the Bible that there were three wise men. They say there were wise men from the east. It could have been three, it could have been two, it could have been 100. But there is no number set on them. And tradition has, over the years, made it three wise men. The other part of that same story is they always make the wise men standing there in the stable with the baby in the manger and Mary and Joseph kneeling. When you read the scripture for yourself, you discover that when the wise men found Jesus, he was no longer a baby, but rather a child. He was a toddler. He had to have been 2 years old or more at the time. And that's what it says in the scriptures. It says, when the wise men came into the house, it does not say the manger, and they say they unwrapped their gifts and they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we believe that that's how that three came to be wise men, as if they each gave a gift, one gift. So that's one of the, there are several things that we could go over, but I wanted to use that as an introduction to show people that everything we've always believed is not necessarily true. And if we start to read the Bible for ourselves, it will answer a lot of questions about our power source and what God intended for us as a people. I did have a few people tell me this week that they don't like to answer questions. They're kind of shy even on the phone. But I'm going to say this to each session. If you have a question, feel free to press that 5-star and I will unmute you and you can share it. There are no wrong questions. There are no wrong answers. And more than likely, if you have a question or if you have a comment to make, it may be the very thing that someone on the other line is needing to hear tonight. So I just want to encourage you, don't be shy. Nobody knows you. They don't see you. I was going to ask if everybody's in their pajamas with coffee right now or tea. That's the advantage of having the at-home conference calls for study. But if you feel like you just don't want to ask anything, I'll try to be gentle and not call on you too much, if at all. I don't want to run anyone away. For tonight, our lesson is going to be from the first chapter of Genesis. And we're going to start basically as if we had not started this before, because most of you, it'll be a refresher for some of you that are there. But if you have your Bibles, and that's the other thing I like for you to do, is bring your Bible to the session and a notebook and a pen. I forgot to welcome you, Ricky. I'm glad to see you here, and Gladys, I'm glad you're here too. And Vanetta, I haven't met you, but I'm glad you're here, okay? And Tilda, I missed you last week. Turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of Genesis.
You have a hand up. Someone has a question.
Okay. Livonia, I'm going to unmute you, and you can ask your question or make a comment, okay?
I have a question to you.
You're free.
About him, you said he was not Lord, that's not the question. I'll get back to you when it comes back to me. You know how I am.
Okay. No problem. Just at any point, just ask, okay?
Just I'm going to write that down.
Put that 5-star down. Yeah, that's what I have to do, too.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I got my first chapter. I'm all right.
Okay. I'm muting you back. Okay, have we all gone to chapter 1? It was suggested that I read it instead of having other people read it, but sometimes if you want to volunteer to read, the lesson or whatever you want to read, just push the 5-star. That's the way you raise your hand and I acknowledge you and open you up to read. But we talked about the reason I start in Genesis is because it is the beginning. By it being the beginning, it would be unwise to try to start study in another book later on in the Bible. Everybody has their favorite books one way or the other. Genesis has turned out to be one of my favorite books because it has the foundation of what we need to know to get further into our study and into our faith. What I'm going to do is actually just jot down notes when you have a question or what you hear so you can go back later and look at it. In Genesis, it's the creation story, which some of us have heard. In the beginning, and I'm reading from the King James translation, I like a translation Bible rather than a paraphrase or some of the new modern ones. People say they understand better with the new modern, but the translation is translated from the original language to English, whereas a paraphrase Bible is telling you what that person who authored that book, that Bible, thought about it. Not necessarily what is truth, but how they interpret it. So that's why I like to have a translation. And if you ever have a problem understanding what it's saying, especially during class, feel free to just put that 5-star and ask, and if I can answer, we'll find an answer somewhere else. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, now I'm going to stop right there, and you could just put a little pin where we're stopping for now. I asked the question of you, how did God do what he did? That's a vital question for us to move forward. Anybody have an answer? And I'll say besides Sharon. I pick on Sharon because she loves the Bible and she's half of what made me do all of this. Okay, I see Vanetta. I'm going to unmute you, Vanetta. I'm still practicing with this muting and unmuting. So, okay.
I was always brought up to believe that he just spoke it.
Okay.
And it was so.
Okay. And that's what the word actually says. That he said, and what happened? It was, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And we need to keep this in mind. Make that one of your major notes for our continuation, because we need an understanding of how God made everything that was made. Now, there's a question I wanted to ask along with that that we'll get to a little bit later, so I don't want us to lose that thought. Just write that thought in your notebook. Okay, where are we? Verse 8. And God called, did I mute you back? Let me mute you back, Vanetta. Okay. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together until one place, and let the dry land appear. and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, this was one of the questions I had when I was studying this even more so. God saw that it was good. What does that mean anything to anybody? Does it sort of make you wonder why that's there? If you have a comment or question about it, 5-star. Okay. Well, I'm going to move on because it's going to come back again. He saw that it was good, and he said, let the earth bring forth grass. Now, we're going to pay attention to this, too, in a very powerful way, because this is a foundational statement. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. What is that saying? Somebody 5-star me and share what that's saying. You can be in too, Sharon, if you like. What is that saying? I want you to think about this stuff, because we don't think enough about our faith, what the foundation of our faith is. Anyone? Or a comment? God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Okay. Sharon, I'm going to unmute you, and you can share your thoughts on that one. Go
okay.
ahead.
And it said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And as you had said, God saw that it was good. Okay. I'm trying to get the right words for this, because when
Take
he said,
time.
Let the earth bring forth grass,
mm-hmm.
and the herb yielding seed, and the tree yielding fruit after his kind, he foreseen what grass apparently looked like, because, I mean, how else could, you know, how else could he have seen grass, you know, for the grass to grow and the seed to yield? That to me is kind of confusing. And I'm trying to figure out, why is it so confusing? Because if he said that's what it was going to be, then it was grass. It's like, well, how did God actually see the grass or figure out how the grass is going to look? You know, it's, that part was confusing to me. So can you explain that?
I hope I can.
And I know it says what he said is done. Okay, I got that part. I'm just wondering how he foreseen how the grass and everything was going to be.
Okay, I'm going to mute you back and give you a little help. We have
okay.
another hand. We have a couple of hands raised, okay?
Good.
Like Kelly,
good.
And then I'm going to unmute Vanetta. So
okay.
I'm going to Kelly. I'm going to unmute you, I think. Okay. Go ahead, Kelly.
So looking at that verse, it appears that everything that he created in this particular category, with the grass, the seed, and the fruit, he gave each of those things the ability to recreate itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. And Vanetta, I'm going to mute you back, Kelly. And I'm going to open Vanetta. Okay, Vanetta, no, not yet. Okay, Vanetta. Vanetta?
Question, because I'm a little confused.
Okay, Vanetta, you're unmuted now.
Okay. I have a question. It is said, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. What? I don't understand after his kind.
Okay. That one is the fruit or the tree and the grass. I'm sorry, they decided to cut the grass at this moment outside. I hope, can everybody still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. He is referred to the tree. He will be referred to several things in scripture. I'm going to go back to Sharon's question and hopefully help us understand this. First of all, we have to think about what we know about God. God is omnipotent. He's everything, right? So if you want to know how to dream or envision, it's like the James Weldon Johnson poem, God Wanted to Make a World. I can't quote it exactly. And God threw out this into space to create this. God is the embodiment of everything that there is. He was there before time began. So somewhere in time or before time began, he had to have a desire and a picture in his mind of what he wanted. The grass would be what he wanted or what he saw. And maybe it wasn't even called grass then. So, and when he refers to the tree, he'll refer to the tree. He may refer to some other things when he says that, and this is what we need to pay attention to really closely. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. The grass, the herbs, they all had seeds in them. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. We don't want to be sexist here, but his kind was the word that King James used to denote the tree brought forth fruit after its own kind. Did you still have a question? I was going to mute you back, Vanetta, but do you have some more that you wanted to add?
I think I understand it now.
Okay, and I'm going to mute you back and say a couple more words because this is very important to see. And you'll see it in a minute as we go through it. Okay, everything he wanted, he created it, and he put, it says, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. You ever look at the trees recently? A few weeks ago, maybe even last week, some of our trees didn't have any leaves on them. We didn't do anything to make any leaves. All we said was, oh, the leaves haven't come yet. They didn't come yet because the seed of that tree with its leaves is in that tree. That tree, let's say if it was an oak tree, could not turn itself into an evergreen tree, let's say. Every tree that God made, every blade of grass, every flower, had its seed in it so that it could reproduce its own kind. That's why when it says after its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Now, when we go further on, I'm reading and trying to watch your board if you have your hand up. Where were we? After the seeds in the tree. Okay, in the evening and the morning were the third day. I'm at verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for a sign. This stuck out for the first time in a way that it's never done before. Now, let's look at that. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Okay, Gladys, I'm opening you up so you can comment on that. Okay, Gladys, go ahead.
Hi. Couldn't heaven be a light, and he was heaven be with green trees and grass and all, and that's where, and but he created the earth to, with some of what's in heaven?
That's an interesting question, because when we start off, we have to pay attention to what it said. It said that the earth was without form. It didn't have any kind of division whatsoever. So
and
when
he created it.
Right.
Yeah, he created it. But he's coming from heaven. He knows what's in heaven. We don't. Could it be a possibility that we are, the earth is a little copy of heaven? You know?
It could be.
Grass up there and trees and day and night and water.
Well, according to what the scripture actually says, all of that is probably there, because that's where he got it from. He said it was without form, and he made it into a format. He, like, divided
right.
things up. He took a part of this, just like you're saying, Gladys. He took a little bit of heaven and probably a little bit of grass over here. He makes a division. He takes the water and he separates it. He takes the mountains and whatever is with him. Everything was with him. And in the beginning, I'm not going that far yet, in the beginning, he decided what he wanted and how he was going to do it. And it was as simplistic as speaking what he wanted. Do we kind of understand that one?
Yes.
Now, what you're saying,
okay.
is that?
Yes,
what,
okay.
Okay, I'm going to mute you back. The thing that,
okay.
got, pardon? Did you need to say something else, Gladys?
No, that's it,
Okay. I'm getting it back. What it said was that he gave the heavens something to light them up. And I know Gladys knows what the heavens are lit with. But have you ever thought about that? What happens? Have you ever been in utter, complete darkness outside or and looked up into the heavens, looked up into the sky? Anybody? Can you tell me what you saw? Nobody know what they saw? Nobody knows what these lights are it's talking about? Ricky, okay. I'm going to unmute you, Ricky. Okay, you're unmuted.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't know, and maybe I'm going too far in, but it seems like we know that God is light, so that's the goodness. And then we look at the darkness, and that I guess we have to have darkness in order to really appreciate the light. I don't know if I'm thinking too hard about it, but to me that's what I saw, is that the light is a relief from the darkness. It gives us hope.
That's a really good way of putting it. You have gone beyond where we were going, but that's the reality of it. But I want us to look at it. We just said it a few minutes ago when we were talking about the wise men. What did we say they followed?
The stars.
And what does this scripture say God gave the stars for?
So that we would have light. Let me go back.
Go back to verse 16. Oh, no, go to 15. No, go to 14.
Okay.
Go to 14. Read that to the rest of us.
Okay, now I don't have the King James Version. I have the NIV.
Okay, go ahead with that one.
And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark the distance. Okay.
Let them serve as what?
As signs.
And?
The seasons and
days. And stop. Why were the wise men following the stars?
Because it was dark and they needed a sign.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. What you're going to do, and I would hope you would do this for a part of your homework next week, is to look in Scripture for people who followed a sign. People who asked for it. Just a couple of weeks ago, we did that in church. Look for a sign. Look for a sign. If you don't know what God is doing and how to direct you, look for a sign. Okay, I'm going to mute you, and there's two other people I'm going to open, okay?
Okay.
And if you need to come back, just come back, and I'll unmute you.
Okay.
Okay?
Good.
All right. I'm coming. Okay, I got Kelly. Going to unmute you, and then I'm going to get you, Sharon. Okay, Kelly.
Okay, so there were two things that I noticed. I guess it's just more so comments that one in verse 16. I think I always overlook this, that even when it's night, like when he separated from night to day, day and night he separated, but even night is considered light. Like it's never completely dark at night. Because you see how in verse 16, and it says that he made two great lights, the greater light, which was to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. So even when it's nighttime, it's still a light.
Okay, that's good. And we look at the end of that when it says, in plain as day, he made the stars also. And he set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light. See, stars give light, too. When we say that twinkle, twinkle, little star thing, it's because it's lighting up the sky. Okay, I'm going to mute you back, and I'm going to go to Sharon. And if you have more to say, I will come back to you. Okay, Sharon, you are unmuted.
Yeah. Well, both of the young ladies, they answered my question. Even when we don't see the stars at night and we see the clouds, the stars are behind the clouds, which does give you a little light at night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll add to that because they answered the question already.
Well, that's good. See, that's what I mean by if you don't ask the questions or have comments, you're depriving somebody else of learning something. We are in this together. We all learn. I learn as I teach. So I'm never thinking I know everything and I have to, you know, act like I do. What I do say to you and every class that I teach, when I teach, I ask people to always be prayerful. Anything you hear that's different from what you've always believed, you have the ability to go to God and say, Lord, is this the truth? Is this where I need to go? Do I need to, you know, reprogram my mind about these things? But always don't take a teacher, not even me, for their word without comparing it to the word of God, because the word of God is there for us. And the thing I wanted us to see in this verse, who do I have open? Sharon, where you were through, I'm going to mute you back, okay?
Yeah.
What I want you to understand, because it's going to come into play in our lives later, is that the stars and various things in nature were given so that we would have another sense of guidance. we go out and we pay money for GPSs to guide us where we want to go. But just like the wise men who had a star to follow and some other people in the Bible who looked to the stars, they had those as guidance. They had them as signs, as proof that they were going in the right direction. So we're going to go on from here because I do want to get to that part that we really need to know to add to this. When the morning, the fourth day, we got to the fourth day. And now, in verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. These are birds of flying. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. What did he mean by blessing them and telling them to be fruitful and multiply? Sometimes words are so simplistic that we don't even think they have a deeper meaning. What do you think he meant? Why? He hadn't done that to the grass. He hadn't done it to the trees. He didn't do it to the flowers. But he blessed the fish and the birds and said, be fruitful and multiply. What does it mean to be fruitful, somebody? Anybody? You gonna make me tell you? Okay, that's more like it. All right, Ricky, I'm gonna do you first and then I'm gonna come to Vanetta. Okay, you're on, Vanetta.
He was wanting them to be fruitful because his plan was to create us, humans, and that was for us to eat, to feed off of. That, I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. I don't know if I'm correct or not.
You're not far from the kingdom. You're just jumping the gun till I get there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Thank
that's
you.
Good.
And I have one other question, too, while you have me on here.
Okay.
And he said that he created all the file, everything that's on there. And I don't mean to be, I guess, feed into it a lot, but he even made mosquitoes, too.
Yep.
What is the purpose of a mosquito?
Ah, they do have purposes.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole science class. But everything he created, what does it say he said? He said it was good.
Good. Okay.
It was good. And a lot of things that we have now, without getting into too far, is that things are extracted that we don't like mosquitoes or ants or something. Science has made a difference in many people's lives because of the things they've discovered that will help us as human beings, not just to feed us, but to do other things. You made me think about when I was a little girl and we were down south and I got some kind of fever. They think it might have been scarlet fever, whatever. But what my grandmother and my mother did was put me in a foot tub of hot water with bitter weeds. I don't know if any of you from the south ever heard of bitter weeds, but she put me in bitter weeds. We would think bitter weeds are good for nothing, right?
Right.
But they solved the issue. And probably now we're paying thousands of dollars for whatever was in those bitter weeds through the pharmaceutical companies. But I don't want to go too far, but you're partially right with that, you know, for food and that. That's why I want to get to the other part. I have, whose hand was up? Ricky, do I need to come to you still? Do five, you put your hand down, so do I need to come? Put five, okay, I will come and unmute you. I'm going to mute you back, Vanetta.
Thank you.
And hopefully you're welcome. I hope we'll get to, so that answer tonight will be for you on what you started. You're just too smart for us. Okay, you're muted. Go ahead. No, Ricky, you're not unmuted yet. I'm going to unmute you. Okay. No.
Oh, okay. You know what? I was pretty much going to say the same thing, that fruitful is meant to be useful. And, you know, whether it be for eating or, you know, living, I shouldn't say living, but making clothing or whatever. But I think Vanetta pretty much covered it. So I really don't have anything else to add. I actually tried to put my hand down, but it didn't go down quick enough.
Okay, but just keep the thoughts and write your notes, because we're going to get to that. I'm looking, yeah, we're going to try to get to that before we leave tonight. So I'm going to mute you back.
Okay.
Kelly, I'm coming to you. Okay, Kelly, you're on.
Okay, so I just want to answer what Vanetta brought up, which was really interesting, because I looked it up real quick.
Uh-huh.
And it says that, especially since the verse we were on, we were talking about him creating the fish and the things in the ocean, and it says that mosquito larvae are important to aquatic ecology, because most of the fish, most of the things that live in the ocean, that is what they feed off of. So it said that if mosquitoes were extinct, that it would affect the production of fish.
And we'd probably have no good fish, right? That's nice.
So I thought that was so interesting, yeah.
Thank you for bringing that in, because, see, those are the kind of things we need to learn so that we don't take for granted just the words that somebody tells us, you know. And we have all this access now to technology that at a moment's notice you could look up anything and see what it's supposed to do there. So thank you, Vanetta, and thank you, Kelly. I'm going to mute you back, Kelly, because I do want to get to this other part. And I'll tell you all now, I never really like only an hour for Bible study. I'm just greedy like that. I like a minimum of an hour and a half, but I don't want to take up your time. And we'll just have to deal with it the way we deal with it. Okay, got you unmuted. Okay, let's look at, where are we? We're with the cattle, right? Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. How? After his kind. Cattle and the creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And when you asked about the mosquitoes, Vanetta, I was thinking about all the creepy things, because it kept saying all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. And I was like, ooh, even cockroaches, all the things. But everything in God's plan has a purpose. We have to investigate and see what it is. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, ah, here is my favorite verse. And we're going to talk about this for a good 5-10 minutes, and then we'll let it go for next week. At verse 26. Now, we know, before I go into it, we got some perimeters that God used to make everything. What were some of them? Somebody share them before we go into that 27th verse. First of all, I remember someone saying, and press the 5-star if you realize any of them. One was saying that God spoke things into being. That's number one, right? And whatever he said became. That's number two. What would number three be? Anybody? He spoke it. All the earth, all the creation that he did. He spoke it. It became. What would the third one be? He made everything to reproduce after. I'm going to go to Francis. Thank you, Francis. I'm going to unmute you before. And you are unmuted, Francis. Go right ahead.
I think he blessed all that he created.
Okay.
And said that it was good. So all that he thought about creating, it was all going to be good, and he blessed.
Doesn't that, I'm sorry, go ahead, Francis.
And he blessed the goodness. He did all of this with his blessing because he knew what he was doing, and it was good.
Thank you. Now, if we know, I'm going to mute you back, Francis, and if you need to raise your hand again, just do so, okay?
Okay.
If we believe that everything God, Sharon, I'm coming to you, but if we believe that everything God made was good and the fact that God made it, wouldn't we treat things differently? Would we be having all this trouble with our environment? Think about it, because it says everything was good, not just good because we decided it was good. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, he said it was going to be good. And like the young lady just said, he blessed everything. And then as we get ready to go into our next verse, he created. But now, you know, it just seems like man is kind of like destroying everything that he tried to create and make better for everyone.
And yet we say we love God and we destroy his creations. Think about it.
Yep, yep. And everything, like you said, everything on this earth has a purpose, from the ant all the way up to the larger scale of an animal to man in itself. We're all here to for a purpose. And most of the little creatures are here for someone to eat them, the larger ones to eat them. But just like with the bees, they produce the pollen for the flowers. So, you know, now pollen is bad on humans. And it's like I said, we're destroying what God actually created to a degree.
You know, we're out of balance right now. But
yes,
as Christian people and believers, it's often left up to us to do something about it and not just say, oh, it's happening and we can't do anything. But we're going to learn how we can do more than we can ask or think because of God. I'm going to mute you back because I do want to get in verse 26 and 27 to leave you with something to think about for next week. So I'm muting you back, Sharon, and I want us, any other hands raised? I want us to look at verse 26 and 27 and hear this with new ears. Okay, God had created everything and he saw that it was good, right? And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. and we're going to stop there, but I need you to see, what did you see in those two verses, three verses? Is it, okay, part of God's plan, Renetta, I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead. Renetta?
Hello. Okay, I'm sorry. And
you're unmuted.
Okay, it says, and God said, let us. Is he talking to, I mean, is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Because he said, let us. And at this time, I thought it was just God.
Ah.
And then I have one other question, too. And my other question is, he created man in his own image, and female and male. I was always thought to believe that he took a rib from Adam to make Eve.
Boy, you all are just too smart. Okay, let me answer each part, okay?
Okay.
One, to make this simple for you, because you're going to discover it in your homework this week, is that there are two creation stories in Scripture. And people often get them confused, and they also add them together as if it was one story. So your task is, because you brought that up too soon, you're going to discover it in the next two chapters. Because your homework assignment for everybody is chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis. And you're going to get a whole bunch of questions through that. Now, what you asked, your question about, you thought it was just God there?
Right.
Do you know what, when people refer to what's called the Godhead, do you know what that is? Have you ever heard that term?
No, you don't have to. I'm thinking of the Trinity. I don't know.
Well, that's just another word for the Trinity, the Godhead.
Okay.
In St. John's, first chapter, in the beginning was what? Does anybody know? In the beginning was. In your Bible, look right quick to somebody. Look right quick to, I'm gonna mute you back, Renetta.
Okay, thank you.
I got a couple of people that want to respond to that, so I'd rather them respond before I respond. So I will, no, I was talking to Ricky, right? No, Renetta. My little board is lit up here. I'm glad to see that. Okay, let's go to Una. We haven't heard from Una. Come on, Una. I'm going to, and I'll get to the other whose hands are raised. Okay. Una.
In St. John 1, it's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so it was God, the Word, and His Holy Spirit. And
what was the Word? I should say, who was the Word?
God.
It's all one in.
All one thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay, only because we're saying it now. The Word was the Godhead, was all there in the beginning. And there's more proof in it as you research. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And Jesus comes on the scene and says, what does he say, you know, about being the Word? I can't get it at the moment. But
he was the Word.
I am the Word, the truth and the light.
And he is the light. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it wasn't God all by himself, but he was the power. He was the Godhead. He was over everything and everyone. Yeah. Now, and I'm going to, did you have any more, Una? Cause I'm,
no, I'm dead.
Okay, I'm going to mute you back and I'm going to go to the other. Okay, we're going down here to Ricky. I'm coming. Sharon, I see you. Okay, Ricky, you're unmuted.
That's okay. Vanetta, somebody already said what I was going to say, so that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm good. They're quick.
All right. Sharon, I'm coming for you. Okay, you're unmuted, Sharon. No, not yet. Sometimes I click right. Okay, Sharon.
Okay, when you go back to Genesis, it said, and the Spirit and the Lord, the Spirit and God. Then when you go to John 1, it said it was the Word.
Right.
So actually, everybody has answered that question already.
Okay.
Because it was the Trinity, naturally, but it was God and the Spirit when it was creating the earth. But
okay.
When we go to John, it gives you more in detail.
John is your backup plan, you know, your backup information. That's
right.
Why you cannot read the Bible by itself. And like
you have to
I
go
said,
back and forth.
Right. And what I said in the beginning was you start in the beginning and then you find your proof for the beginning throughout Scripture. Just like you said, here we are in John, that's New Testament, that's centuries between the creation and that. But it validates that it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it says the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. So you can find things like that all the time. Now, I want one last thing for you. I'm going to mute you back, Sharon.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the thing that is so interesting, because we never said what that, I gave you two things that God wanted, he created, he saw it was good, but he made everything so that it would reproduce after itself. He said everything has a seed in it that would be able to repopulate, reproduce, to make things new again. It's like if you go out there and here, especially in the winter, and you look at a tree and it looks so dead and gloomy sometimes, but then when summer comes, it just perks up and becomes alive again. The point I want you to think about this week, because the alarm has gone off, and if you need to leave before I finish, you can leave and just get some information from someone else, perhaps. He created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. From what we know about how God created everything else, he didn't want to slack on himself. He decided we're going to make humankind, but we're going to make them just like us. They're going to embody me, Spirit, and the Son. That's why Jesus comes along in St. John centuries later and said, you and I are joint heirs. We share the power. We share the prosperity. We share everything equally, because we are both sons or children of God. Now, that's hard for some people to take, but I want us to see what he gave them, and that's where we leave off tonight, and we'll have to go to it next week. But when he created us, he blessed us, and he said to us, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Any comments before we leave? We're created in his image, in his likeness, and dominion means power. Those words, I want you to look up and know what they meant, because we use them maybe for just procreation, but they mean far more than procreation. What I hope to get into next week with you is why we were blessed with the command to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth and subdue it, and to have dominion. Because nowhere in there does it say to have dominion or power over other people, but it was giving us power over the things of the earth that could stop us and control us. And there's nothing according to this scripture. And that's why it's so important for us to really get this first chapter. There is nothing that should prevent us from following God except maybe ourselves or some things that we encounter that we don't recognize how much power we have over them. Time for one or two comments, and then we're going to have a closing prayer. Press 5-star if you have a closing comment or question. I don't want you to go away with a question, but I do want you to explore what we have talked about. Now, I've given you all kinds of homework to take you through the week. 5-star, anyone? Okay, then, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that rests, rules, and guides us throughout our lives. Lord, speak to us, speak through us. Allow us to have your word as a priority in our lives. Help us to understand what you tried to do from the beginning, and we too are caught up in what the world wants and not seeing what it is you want. Open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits as we go from our phone calls together. Be in us, with us, through us, and for us, for we know that where you are, there can be no imperfection. Make your word plain. Help us to realize how holy each word is and how powerful it is for all of us and for those we encounter. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, we believe, and we say amen and good night.